Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Tonight we're going to continue looking at the themes from our hymn, O Love, How Deep. And especially tonight, we're going to look at how our enemies, the demons, rage against us. We talked about angels during the midweek of Lent 1, our first week together, and we demonstrated how Jesus, in becoming man, makes himself just a little bit lower than angels, and yet is the ultimate servant of all as the Son of Man. But there's no real discussion that can be had about angels without also including demons. Demons, after all, are fallen angels. They followed Satan when he was cast out of heaven. And they aren't TV characters. They aren't cartoons with red pointy tails and with horns. They are very real. And they are nothing to scoff at. This account that we have before us here in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5 demonstrates all of this all too well. As an agent of death, this unclean spirit, the one that was possessing this man, the man who was at most at home among death and the graves. That's where Jesus found him, among the tombs, and that's where he lived. And no one could do anything about him. No amount of shackles or chains could restrain this man who had a demon possessing him. And not just one demon, a demon that identified itself as Legion. A legion would have been up to 6,000. This man was helpless. He was trapped. And all that demon wanted to do was torture him, to hurt him as much as he possibly could. We heard about all that in the gospel reading, what he made this man do to himself. Why do demons hate us so much? They hate us because God became one of us. They hate us because Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Mary, became human flesh and blood. And he came to defeat sin and death and hell. And Jesus did all of that by becoming one of us, by becoming one with us. So when this demon sees Jesus from afar off, he knows that his time is up. He knows that his possession of this man, this complete control that he has over this man, is about to come to an end. Miraculously, though, he goes out and he pleads with Jesus. What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. This demon knew exactly what Jesus was capable of. He knew exactly who God was. He knew exactly who this was that was standing in front of him. He knows who he is, so he implores Jesus to swear that he would not be tormented. And at first glance, you might actually, if you don't know all the background, if you don't know all of the story, you might have a little sympathy for the demon. He's pleading. After all, what did he do besides simply dwell in this man? But make no mistake, this demon wanted nothing more than to hurt and harm not only this man that he was possessing, but also everything and everyone around him. To him, this was not a game at all. And in a way, we often treat our pet sins, our temptations, and even our worst sins much like we treat this demon. After all, they aren't that bad, are they? As long as he stays out there in the cave, as long as he does his own thing, as long as we can every once in a while restrain him just a little bit, And then we go on to say to ourselves, we can just go on to something else. We can forget about that. That sinful little voice in our mind might say, we can go on, we can deal with other problems. We don't have to worry about that one. That demon's going to be there when the time comes. This, however, is not at all how our Lord addresses this demon. Jesus quite simply says, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. The 20th century pastor and theologian Hermann Sasse put it this way. He said, every pastor knows or should know that there are cases when a discussion is impossible, and the only answer to a question can be that, be gone, Satan. Those words that Jesus spoke not only to the devil, but also to his faithful confessor, Simon Peter. Not every question can be settled by means of a friendly discussion, Sasse says. And then he goes on to say, this is necessary to remember in an age which has a superstitious belief in dialogue as the infallible means of settling everything. There are questions raised by the devil to destroy the Church of Christ. You have to believe that the devil and that his demons are out there to get you. And they are, because he knows that he doesn't have you right now. He knows that you are the Lord's. He knows that you belong to God. And he wants to turn you to his side. What all of this means in plain English is that you don't argue with a demon. You simply tell it to be silent and to go away. And that doesn't only apply to literal demons, of course. It also applies to all of those temptations, the nagging problems and the weaknesses that we all have in our lives. Because we want to rationalize. We want to talk about it. We want to be reasonable and try to come up with some compromise that will allow us to keep on sinning, to keep on living in the domain of Satan and the world. After all, it's only a little thing. How bad can it be? How many problems can it really cause? But this is exactly why Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Because at some point you have to simply own that the problem is nothing short of being caused by Satan himself. And if that's the case, then it must be cast out. So may that be your goal. Cast out the temptations. Cast out all of those little demons that seem to have you caught up in yourself. Repent. Turn around. And leave them behind you. Because you don't need them. Christ has already died for them, so they're no longer yours, but his. Recognize that those things that you so want to cling to, the things that bring you down and cause you no end of trouble, they can be gone. As surely as the sun rises in the east, Christ has taken your sin upon himself. And Jesus Christ says to them all, come out of him, come out of her, for she is mine. When you come to recognize the work that Jesus does, your view of the world, your life, indeed everything begins to change. You begin to see how God is capable of ordering all things so that you might be saved by faith as you trust in him. So come and receive the forgiveness of sins that's given to you at this altar. From these words, God gives you peace that passes all understanding. He gives to you a conscience that would be at rest, and he gives to you a life restored. Believe it, for Jesus' sake. Amen.